This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar kabira. Walhamdulillahi kathira. Wa subhanallahi wa bihamdihi bukratan asira. Allahu Akbar. Kullama labba mulabbin wa kabbar. Allahu Akbar. كلما طاف بالبيت وكبر اللهم يا الله يا رب العالمين أنت الأكبر وأنت العظيم ونحن ضعاف ونحن فقراء والمساكين اللهم ارحم هذه الأمة وتقبل منها اللهم تقبل من حجاجها يا أرحم الراحمين الله أكبر الحمد لله هذه أيام معلومات وهي الأيام التي نكبر الله فيها على ما هدانا لتكبروا الله على ما هداكم. Today is اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبدك ورسولك. الحمد لله. Today is a great day. Imam Ahmad relates a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, أَعْظُمَ الْأَيَّامِ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمُ النَّحْرِ. The greatest of days with Allah is the day of the Nahr. This is a big day for our ummah. It's a day when people are meant to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their guidance. This should occur all of the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Hajj, that if you go on Hajj, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. There shouldn't be any inappropriate language. There shouldn't be any argumentation. There shouldn't be any foulness on the Hajj. وَلَا فُسُقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ. So there shouldn't be any foulness or argumentation. That should be all of the time. But in the Hajj and in Ramadan, there's an intensity of time and place. On Hajj, it's the intensity of place as well as time, but in Ramadan, it's the intensity of time. And it makes you aware in a way that maybe in other times you're not as aware. So these are days where we're meant to actually rectify with our families. If there's qatar rahim, if there's uquq al-walidain, these are really important times for people to rectify, yatasalihun. The Prophet ﷺ said that there's something I can direct you to that's better than prayer and fasting. It's better than prayer and fasting. خَيْرُ لَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ إِصْلَاحُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ. Rectifying among you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Messenger to bring peace, to take us out of the darkness of this world. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that Imam al-Tirmidhi and others relate, he said, مَا عَمِلَ آدميون في يوم النحر عملا أحب إلى الله صلى الله عليه أحب إلى الله تعالى من إهراق الدم than actually sacrificing, because this is the sunnah of Ibrahim عليه السلام, and we're part of the millah of Ibrahim عليه السلام. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was given this immense trust. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, I am the answer of the prayer of Abraham, Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, I am the answer of the prayer of Abraham. If you want to see, people, now there's a lot of doubt about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Ibrahim is a proof for the existence of the truth of this religion. It's a clear proof. One of them is his dua. He made this dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send, wab'ath, like to send them a messenger. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fulfill this ancient covenant that had been lost. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fulfilled this ancient covenant that had been lost. Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam is amazing in the history of religions. He's described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Siddiq. He's described as Halim. When Ibrahim alayhi salam complained about the idols, he said, وَمَن تَبِعْنِي فَإِنُّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. That whoever follows me is from me, and whoever disobeys me, you're forgiving, you're merciful. Subhanallah. He didn't say, أنت الشديد العذاب, أنت الشديد العقاب, أنت المنتقم. He had compassion in his heart, like our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, who's his greatest son, صلى الله عليه وسلم. When in Sahih Muslim, a man said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا خير البرية. And he said, ذاك إبراهيم. That's Abraham. He said, oh, best of creation. He said, no, that's Abraham. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the best of creation. We know that, and that's confirmed. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أنا سيد ولد آدم ولا فخر. I am the Sayyid of all the children of Adam, and there's no boasting in this. He was commanded to tell us, to let us know his maqam. But when he was asked about Ibrahim, there's many different opinions about what did he not yet know that Ibrahim. But the best opinion, because some of them say you can't, if that's a khabar, and you can't, the Prophet wouldn't have said something that he did not know, because for the Arabs to transmit something that you don't know for certain is actually considered a lie. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, it's enough for a man to be called a liar who relates everything he hears. And that's enough to be deemed a liar. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he said that, it was from his humility. He said, أُمِرْتُ أَنَ تَوَاضَعَ حَتَّى لَا يَفْخَرَ أَحَدٌ عَلَى أَحَدٍ وَلَا يَبْغِي أَحَدٌ عَلَى أَحَدٍ. I was commanded to be humble. So the best interpretation that I saw was his intention was in his time. So he didn't want, because he's his father, and for the Arabs to elevate yourself above the father is very problematic. So he, out of his humility, he said, that Abraham. In other words, in his time, he was the best. The two most mentioned prophets in the entire Quran, and this is again a proof of the humility of the Prophet ﷺ, that the book that he gave us mentions him only a few times. The two most mentioned prophets are Ibrahim and Moses. Musa ﷺ and Ibrahim. Ibrahim has over 200, almost 250 verses that are related to the story. If you put them all together, you will get the story of Ibrahim ﷺ. And it's a momentous story. It's an amazing story. It's the story of this ummah. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam, first of all, there's difference of opinion about how he was born, because he was living in the time of a tyrant, Nimrod, who had been told by the soothsayers that a boy would be born that would be his end. And so his mother hid him for the... this is narration, so we're not certain about these things, but hid him for 12 years. When he came out, he first saw the star, and he saw the kokab, ra'a kokaban, and he said, hadha rabbi, this is my Lord. And then when he saw it set, he said, la uhibbul afini, I don't love things that set. In other words, it couldn't be my Lord. Then he saw the moon, bazighan, the moon came out, and he said, this is my Lord. And then it set, he said, no, it can't be my Lord. And then the sun came out, oh, this is, and then it set. And so this is a type of inductive reasoning. He's using a type of inductive reasoning. Some say he did it because they worshiped the stars, and so he was just pointing out the foolishness of his own people. And then when he was asked, in Surah Safat, we're told that he was asked, they were going to go to this big event, and there would be all their idolatry. So he nazara nazaratan fi an-nujum wa qala inni saqim, because they used the stars, they were astrologers. And so he looked up into the stars as if he's reading the stars. He wasn't, but he's really showing them the foolishness of their ways. And then he said, I feel sick. So he excused himself. So then he went to the idols, and he struck them down one by one, and left the big one. Again, he's testing his people. He left the big one. And then they came, they said, oh, the Ibrahim used to talk about these things. It must be him. So they go to him and they say, what, did you do this to our idols? He said, فَعَنْهُمْ كِبِيرٌ, you know, the big one did it. And he pointed with his thumb, because this is the opposable, this is what enables us to use an axe. So he said, the big one did it. The thumb enabled that, right? And that was manduha. Because prophets can use tawriya, what's called tawriya, ambiguous words, when they have to, like when he goes with Sarah and the tyrant in Egypt wanted to seduce Sarah, he asked who she was and he was worried that, so he said, he's my sister, she's my sister. He meant sister in the faith. He didn't mean his sister was his wife. And Ibrahim was shown the Pharaoh what he did. He was shown that. And so as he approached Sarah, the angel came between them and frightened him so much, he ended up giving up his desire, and he actually gave as a gift Hajar alayha salam. So this is very important. And then he goes, Ibrahim, they decide to throw him into the fire. And we know, kuni ya naru kuni bardan wa salama. Like Allah told the fire to be at peace and not harm Ibrahim alayhi salam. What did he say? In one riwayah, Jibril came to him and said, do you have a need for me? He said, amma anta fala. You know, it's tawakkul. He was in a maqam of fana. He didn't, the asbab were not there. He only saw Allah. So he was completely in a state of, now imagine being in a catapult and you're being thrust into a fire. You're flying through the air and you're saying, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. The iman of this man, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he came to him with a sound heart. Ibrahim alayhi salam was in the midst of shirk, but he wasn't a mushrik. Kana hanifan. He was a hanif, he inclined towards the truth. This is our father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. And we are the most worthy of Ibrahim, and I'll tell you why. I asked a pastor of a mega church. I said, Pastor, have you ever blessed Abraham? And he said, I can't say that I have. I said, haven't you read in Genesis where God says, I will bless those who bless you, Abraham. And I will curse those who curse you or hold you in contempt. And he said, I know that verse. I said, but we bless Abraham every day. So this is the ummah that blesses Abraham. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Genesis that I have heard you, Abraham, about Ishmael, about Ismail. I've heard you. And I've answered your prayer. He's answered the prayer. And what was his prayer? He said he will give birth to 12 rulers. And these are the 12 sons. And the Prophet ﷺ is the son of one of those. And then he said, and I will make from him a great nation, the Arabian nation, and then the ummah of the Muslims. This is, so how could somebody deny that? How is it that Abraham has taken half of the world's population? This man who lived in a tent, who traveled, he said that he was making hijrah to his Lord. When he left and he went to Haran, he went to Turkey, and then he went to the Holy Land, and then he went to Mecca. He married his Hajar. He has a child with Hajar, Ismail. And when Ismail reaches 12 years of age, he tells him, "Inni arafin manami anni adbahuka." I see in my dream that I'm sacrificing you. And there's difference of opinion, and there's an argument that both are correct. Many of Sahaba, some of the great Sahaba thought that it was Ishaq, Ali, Ibn Abi Talib, Sayyidina Umar. I mean, these are big Sahaba. So there are several that thought that it was Ishaq. Ka'b al-Ahbar said it was Ishaq. It's Ishaq in the Torah. But if you look at the verses, it would appear that it's not, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَاهُنَّ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. when he was tried with these words. And there's a lot of difference of opinion about what that meant. But this I think the soundest thing is the tribulation that he was given with his son. That he was told in a dream, and the dreams of prophets are, they are revelation. And so he goes to, and there's again a khilaf. Was it in Sham, Mount Moriah, or was it in Mecca? So the dominant later opinion amongst our scholars, and if you look at the verses, it seems very clear that it's Ismail, alayhi salam. So he says, do what you're told to do. And he tells him that he'll be patient. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ana ibnu dhabihain." I'm the son of two that almost got sacrificed. Because his own grandfather had sworn an oath that he would, if he was given sons, that he would sacrifice one of them. And so when Abdullah was born, he had to fulfill his oath. He sent to the kahin to ask what to do because he didn't want to kill him. It was his most beloved son. And the kahin told him, these are the soothsayers. This is very interesting about our religion. So the soothsayers were actually a rahmah for people. So they were seen as a rahmah for people. Because, and that's why they were cut off once the Prophet ﷺ came. They could no longer speak the truth. But Allah always gives people guidance. If they need guidance, He will give them guidance, even from places they will never expect it from. Like Imam al-Ghazali, who heard the thief say when he stole his books, and he said, "Give me back my books. I've just spent 2 years copying them all out. That's my knowledge." And he said, "What kind of knowledge that a thief could steal it from you?" And he said, "Antaqahu Allah." Like he took guidance from that thief. And he said he would never learn anything except he would memorize it after that, which he did. So he went to the soothsayer and he said, sacrifice 10 camels, throw the arrows, and then if they're against it, sacrifice 10 more. It went up to 100 camels, which is why that's the diyah for the people of camels. The blood writ is for 100 camels because of that event. So Allah put it into the sharia of Islam. So he said, "I'm the sacrifice, two son of two potential sacrifices, Ismail and Abdullah." So this is amazing about our Prophet. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, that he put the house, وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنَا. Look at Jerusalem and look at Mecca. Look at the two cities. Jerusalem is filled with war. Read the history of Jerusalem. It's called Jerusalem, the city of peace. And yet, it's never been at peace. Except when the Muslims were ruling it for a period, and then they lost it. They lost it a few times. So Mecca is a place of aman. It has rarely, in the entire 1400 years, there are only two or three times where there were fitna. It was a fitna. It wasn't something where people conquered it and took it over. It was just fitna happened in the city. There was one recently in our lifetimes, for those of you who remember 1979. But they're very short, they're very brief. People feel secure in Mecca. Traditionally, merchants never closed their shops. They would just, the gold merchants would just put a cloth over it and go. سَوَاءٌ الْعَاكِفُ فِيهِ وَالْبَادِ. They're all equal in that city. It's the only place in our religion where men and women mix in the tawaf. It's amazing because everybody's equal. And it should be that the haybah of the place should prevent you from doing anything untoward towards the opposite sex. But that's Mecca. It's a place of aman because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا. That's his answer to the prayer. Look at the history of Mecca. He answered Ibrahim's prayer. وَجَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدْ آمِنًا. وَجَعَلْ بَلَدًا آمِنًا. Like there's two different times. He probably prayed that many times. Make it a place of prayer. Make it a place of prayer. And then he asked that Allah subhanahu, when he said, Rabbi inni ja'altu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in, I've put my family in a place without any agriculture. عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا وَاي لِيُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ. He wanted them to do the prayer. He wanted them to establish prayer. And then he said to وَجَعَلْ أَفِيدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. So make this place a place where the prayer is established, but then incline the hearts to going to this place. Minanath, they say if had he said all the people, every heart on the planet would be wanting to go to Mecca. But he was told, وَأَذِنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ, announce to the people Hajj. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَدٍ عَمِيقٍ لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. These are amazing. How can anybody deny that prayer was not answered? He said, make the hearts of people inclined to this place. Announce the Hajj, and they will come walking. رِجَالًا. This is a jam'u of rajal for Ahlul Lugha, like qa'im and qiyam. Rijalan, they come walking to show walking is the best way to make hajj. And that's the way Murabt al-Hajj made hajj. 1 year it took him to walk all the way to Mecca. He walked all the way from Mauritania, min fajjin amiq. There was one, Muhammad ibn Yasin al-Khurasani, he was from Central Asia, Afghanistan, these areas. Khorasan means the place the sun rises. And he was making tawaf around the house. And he said, a sheikh said to him, Min aina anta? Where are you from? He said, Min Khorasan. He said, how far is that from the house? And he said, maybe 3 months. He said, anta jar, like you're a neighbor. And then he said, How far did you come? He said, it's taken me 5 years. He said, خَرَجْتُ شَابًا وَاكْتَهَلْتُ, I set out as a young man and now I'm in my middle age. And then he said, the man said to Muhammad bin Yasin, he said, هَذِي الْعِبَادَ الْجَمِيلَةِ هَذِي الطَّاعَةُ الْجَمِيلَةِ, this is a beautiful type of ta'ah. And then the man said to him, Zurman hawaita wa inshattat bika daru, visit the one that you love, even if his abode is a far off distant place. Wahala min dunihi hujubun wa astaru, and there's obstacles to prevent you from getting there. And there's obstacles to prevent you from getting there. Wahala min dunihi hujubun wa astaru. And then he said, إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يَهْوَاهُ زَوَّارُ, the one who loves, وَلَا يَمْنَعَنَّكَ بُعْدٌ عَنْ زِيَارَتِهِ, don't let the distance prevent you from going. And then he said, إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يَهْوَاهُ زَوَّارُ, the one when he loves someone, he will visit them oft. And then he left. The point of that is, these people went through great efforts, and now we have airplanes, people go 5-star hotels, they stay in air condition, and there's still people don't make hajj. There's still people that do not make hajj. It's amazing. سَأَنصَحُكُمْ جَمِيعًا, if you haven't made hajj, make the intention for next year, because what's the hujjah? If you have مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ زَاد وَرَاحِلَ, if you have the provision, then you should go. And one of the things, لِيَشْهَدُ مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, in order for them to see benefits, Imam al-Nasafi said something amazing in his commentary on that ayah. He said, the hajj is a preparation for death. He said, when you leave shati al-hayah, the shore of life, وَتَرْكَبُ بَحْرَ الْوَفَاتِ, and you ride the ocean of death. He said, the first thing, you're washed. And this is why the first thing to go into ihram, you take a bath. And then you put on the clothes that have no stitch. Your kafan does not have stitch for the men. The women are given a dispensation, but they should be reminded of the kafan. And then he said, this is an intense journey. There's hardships in it. You go, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. And then he said that when you come to Arafah, he said, it's hayran. It's like you're confused because the journey has been so intense. He said, this is like the wukuf on Arafah. But then he said, once you finish, you go to Muzdalifah and Mina, and then you're freed of Iblis. You cast Iblis out of your life because you're not going to hell. And then he said, and then you go and you make tawaf on the ifadah, and this is like being entering into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said the whole thing is a death journey. It's a preparation for death. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that man hajja wa lam yarfuth wa lam yafsuq wa lam yujadir kharaja kayyuma waladatu aw kayyumi waladatu ummuhu, that whoever makes the hajj, doesn't do rafath, doesn't do say anything inappropriate, doesn't do anything inappropriate, and doesn't argue, he comes as if he was born that day, born again, like a newborn. Because that's how you will come out of this dunya. For those of you who are in tribulation, and there are people in this room, there may be people that have some terminal diagnosis, there may be people that have waswasa, there may be people that have great tribulation in their home or in their children. All of these things are to prepare you to leave this world. And that's why the people that get the worst tribulations are the closest people to Allah, because they leave this world without sin. So when you see people suffering, when you see people emaciated from cancer and they're believers and they're holding on to their belief, they're going to leave this world without sin. This is what the abode is. It's an abode of purification. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, when Ibrahim ﷺ said, the reason that he did all of this, لِيَشْكُرُوا لِيَشْكُرُونَ, in order that they might be grateful. Gratitude is so important. And this is a day of gratitude. It's a day of gratitude to be grateful to your Lord that we have guidance. We're not lost. Look at these people out there who don't know if they're a man or a woman, who cover their bodies with tattoos. Our Prophet said, don't use tattoos. Our Prophet said, don't dress like a woman if you're a man. Don't dress like a man if you're a woman. He didn't leave anything without guidance. We have guidance in every single thing. And this is the blessing of what Abraham called to send a messenger unto the world that would bring all of this guidance. الَّذِي خَلَقَ ثُمَّ هَدَى. He created and he guided. He guided the animals to be animals, but he guided us to be human beings, because we're animals without this guidance. Look at the people out there. Look at the suffering. And we should not feel contempt. We should feel pity and also shame that we have failed as an ummah to deliver this message to so many people. Because so many of them, they rejoice when they find Islam. You can see countless people who found Islam and they're like crying. There was a pastor, somebody sent me the other day, a pastor who made hajj. His whole church of 1,000 people became Muslim because he started having dreams about Islam and he was told to become Muslim. He's weeping at Arafah about God. He was a Christian, but when he found Islam, this and Christianity has much good in it. There's much good in Christianity. I would much rather have Christians who practice Christianity than pagans, because they're Abrahamic and they share the Ten Commandments with us and many other things. And they're closest to us according to the Quran. But this is the pristine deen. This is the millah of Ibrahim. And whoever من رغب عن ما رغب عن ملة إبراهيم إلا من سفيها نفسه. The only one that will turn away from this millah, from this way, are people that don't know themselves. The Safiha Hayyam, Jahila Nafsuhu, he doesn't know who he is. Because we are meant to be in the pattern of these great paragons of virtue. We're meant to be like them. Every human being is imitative. There's nobody who's original in this world. Nobody. The artist is imitative. The dress you're wearing, you're imitating somebody. And no matter how hard you try to be original, you're imitating somebody. And if you think there's a first one who did it, who was the original one, generally they were inspired by Iblis. So Iblis is original. Iblis tattoos, he was the first one to inspire that. He's original. So you're still imitating Iblis. So we should be imitating our Prophet. And in conclusion, there's two things I wanted to end with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِعِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Those who, amongst my servants who believe, let them establish prayer. This is the foundation of our religion. Is after iman is prayer. وَيُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَنِيًّا. And let them spend out in secret, openly and in secret. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ يَوْمٌ لَا بَيْعٌ فِيهِ وَلَا خِلَالٌ. Before the day comes, there's no commerce. There's no commerce with Allah. Before that day comes, spend out. Don't waste. If you have, Allah says, they ask what we should spend. قُلْ الْعَفُوا. Spend your excess. Allah doesn't take what you need, but He asks you to give the excess. And this is a day to remember poor people. وَأَطْعِمُوا الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرَ, Allah says. كُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْبَائِسَ. Eat from your udhiya. But also remember the poor on this day. So then he says, Allahu alladhi kharaqa as-samawati wal arda wa anzala min as-sama'i ma'an fa akhraja. So he sent from the heaven water, fa akhraja bihi min ath-thamarati rizqan lakum. He brought forth from that water all of this provision for you. Wa sakhara lakum al-fulka litajri bihi fil bahri bi amrihi. And he gave you, subjugated the ocean to you, that you can travel on the ocean. One of the great miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we, the dispensation, that the water actually is displaced by this hollow. Amazing. So then he says, وَسَخَرَ لَكُمَ الْفُرْكَ لِتَجْرِ فِي الْبَحْرِ بِأَمْرِهِ وَسَخَرَ لَكُمَ الْأَنْهَارِ. And he gave you the rivers. Look at all the important rivers in the earth. Without them, there's no civilization. These great rivers, they create civilization. And then he says, وَسَخَرَ لَكُمَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ دَائِبَيْنِ. And he put the sun and the moon in this perfect order. وَسَخَرَ لَكُمَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. Now, all of this, right? وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهُ. So all of this is in'am. Like Allah, يَمُنُّ عَلَيْنَا. He's the only one that can do this. His name is Al-Mannan. Remind us, because we're forgetful of all these blessings. But then he says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَذْرُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. But man oppresses himself and he's ungrateful. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّي اجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامَ. Then he brings Ibrahim in, because first he's setting up all of the blessings, and then he's giving us Abraham's desire, which is to free people from shirk, and then to have a safe place that they can direct their prayers to. And then he says what he said. I went through that. So that, he says, لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ, right? And then he says, and then I want to go to Surah Ibrahim, and I'll conclude this section and then make a prayer. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Ra. Kitaban anzalnahu ilayka litukhrij an-nasa min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur bi-idni rabbihim. So he revealed this book to take people out of darknesses, plural, into singular, nur. In other words, to take them out of shirk and to see multiplicity and to take them into tawheed. And to take them into the light of God, so that you see with the light of God. The Prophet said, "Taraktukum ala al-mahjat al-bayda, layluha kanahariha la yazighu anha illa halik." I have given you the straight, clear path. It's bayda, it's lit up. It's night and day are the same. You won't go astray if you follow it. And he said, whoever deviates from it will destroy himself. Whoever deviates from it will destroy himself. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَى سِرَاطَ الْعَزِيزَ الْحَمِيدِ, to this straight path of Al-Aziz Al-Hamid, اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, he has everything in the heavens and the earth. وَوَيْلُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ, so woe unto the ingrates, the people that aren't grateful for this guidance and don't follow this guidance. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ, they prefer materialism to the immaterial. They prefer this worldly dunya that is only temporary to a permanent abode. وَيَسُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا أُولَئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ, they will bar from the path of Allah, they desire to make it crooked, surely they are in manifest and far off error. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاهُمْ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِبِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ, and we only sent every messenger with the tongue of his people to clarify it. فَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, and then, and this is where it's, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا, this is Surah Ibrahim, and right, and what does he say? أَنْ أَخْرِجْ قَوْمَكَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, same message, because every prophet came to do this. وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ, remind them of the days of Allah, that the biggest day of Allah is يوم القيامة. Because no matter how bleak it looks in this dunya, al-aqibatu lil-muttaqin, and we believe that, and we assert that, we believe that the last day is the day of believers. The atheists will see on that day. They will see. They will come to know. Tarabbasu fini ma'akum min al-mutarabbisin. We'll wait. I'll wait with you. Inni wa iyyakum la'ala hudan aw fi dhalalin mubin. One of us is wrong. We're going to see. So we'll see. So then he says, to remind them of these days of victory. Inna fi dhalika la'ayatin likulli sabarin shakur. And that's the key. Patience and gratitude. Patience in tribulation, gratitude in blessing. These are the two states of the believer. You're either in tribulation or you're in blessing, or it's a mixture of the two. You have to have both. And then وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ أَنْجَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ. And remember, remind them. Moses, remind them, they were slaves. Pharaoh was killing their sons. Pharaoh was molesting their women, taking them captive. Remind them of that. Why? He told them to remind them of these blessings. Remind them how bad it was. In other words, don't grieve about the past. All of these people now that, oh, we were slaves in the past. No, rejoice that you're not slaves anymore. This is what believers do. We don't dwell on the past. We don't grieve about the past when Allah has taken the misery of the past away from us. We show gratitude for what we've been given. This is the difference. That's what he's saying. He said, remind them that, yeah, they were in slavery. They were in servitude. They were being oppressed. The Muslims, whatever is happening now, it's all for adab of rahmah. It's adab rahmah. It's not adab iqab. The Prophet said, Ummati ummatun marhuma, ju'ila adabuha fi dunyaha. My ummah is a ummah that God has shown mercy to. All of its punishment is in this world. So when you distance yourself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will punish you because you have to leave this world without the sins of this world. So Afghan, it's a beloved land to the Muslims and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the greatest Muslims came from that land. But look at it now. Palestine, some of the greatest Muslims came. Look at it. Yemen, some of the great. All of this, where is it from? If you don't see your Lord in everything, you don't have Tawheed. You don't have Tawheed. The Prophet did not see anything except he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. You didn't throw when you threw, but Allah threw. That's the reality. Syria, look at the poor Muslims of India. May Allah help them. May Allah help all these Muslims. But just know, al-aqibatu lil-muttaqin. And that's what we're being reminded of. Be grateful for your blessings or they will be taken away. Like Sari al-Saqati said. He said, man lam yashkur an-ni'am suliba minhu wa huwa la yash'ur. Whoever is not grateful for his blessing, they will be taken from him and he won't even feel it. He'll be unaware. Nasallahu fa ansahum anfusuhum. They forgot Allah, so Allah made them forget themselves. Because shukr is sarf al-abdi ma awlahu min ni'mahu fi ni'mahu. Sarf al-abdi ma awlahu fi ridahu. Like in being content with Allah. Muttadi'an wa farihan bil mun'imi alayhi la bi fawzihi bin ni'mi. That his gratitude is that he's humble for it. He doesn't see himself as, oh, this is from my own hands, or this is what I... No, it's a blessing from Allah. That's what he sees. So he's in that state and he rejoices in the mun'im, not in the ni'am. That's real gratitude of shukr. قَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. So then he says, he saved you from Pharaoh. He was taking your, killing your men and taking your women. And then he said, وَفِي ذَلِكَ بَلَاءٌ. From who? Min Pharaoh? No. The ayah says, ذَلِكَ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. That's a tribulation from your Lord, not from Pharaoh, from your Lord, Azim. With ta'adhana rabbukum, right? And your Lord has declared, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَيَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٍ. If you're grateful, I will increase you. And if you're an ingrate, just know that the punishment is severe. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر الحمد لله كثيرا وسبحان الله بكرة وأصيلا الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله. There's a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, أيام عيد أيام أكل وشرب وذكر لله. These are days of festivity. May Allah inshallah give you blessed days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our sins. May Allah accept those who fasted yesterday. May Allah accept that fast. May Allah give us a portion of the prayers on Arafah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the Muslims who made Hajj. May He accept all of their Hajjs, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the pain and tribulation of Muslims. Whoever here is in debt, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free you from that debt. Whoever here is sick, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal you from that sickness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May he be rejoice with us. مُبْتَسِمًا حِينَمَا يَرَانَا مُقْبِرًا عَلَيْنَا يَوْمَ قِيَمَةً آخِنِ بِعَنِينَا. Maybe we people that he's actually happy to see. That when he sees us on the Day of Judgment, he smiles and he's happy to see us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our stupidities, for our arrogance, for anything that distances us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your Eid, Eidukum Mubarak. Wa salli lahum ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kithira. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala mursaleen. Wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.